All right, guys, let's get ourselves ready. Get our coffee, caffeinated up, ready to rock and roll. Good. One of the cool things about being here in person, I think you guys would all agree, is the melting pot of ideas, not just from right here in the room, but more of here, right? My whole goal is to simply, and our goal at the Business Academy is just to nudge your already innate genius that's within you. If I can nudge it in the right direction with some ideas, I know that you guys can do the rest of the work, right? And the beauty of it is you're going to learn, honestly, you're probably going to learn more in the hallways here this weekend than you will during seminar time. So I really implore all of you guys, take advantage of the networking opportunity here, meet, work with each other. If you're running into a problem in your office that you just can't seem to fix, whether it's an efficiency issue, an organizational issue, a new patient problem, patient compliance issue, whatever the issue is, right? Staff, team, disruption, I don't know, whatever it might be. There's somebody in this room or in one of the other rooms that has been there, experienced it multiple times, and has solved that problem. I hope that it was solved with some of the Business Academy systems or their own genesis of solutions and systems as well. And also what it does too is by networking and being in this room is that what you feel like might be a goal that's impossible to reach, or there's no way we can see 300 visits in a week, or there's no way we could serve 25 new patients a week, or there's no way we can bring on 3 more service centers, you know, in the next 6 months. That's just so impossible. Oh my gosh. You're going to meet people who have practices that are managing not just hundreds of patients a week, but dare I say over 1,000, getting warmer, 1,100 patients a week, all 6 offices. 1,200 patient visits a week, 13, 14, 15.
All 6.
Before Land O'Lakes and before Inverness, you guys did hit 1,500 visits in a week. So yeah, you guys are close to 1,500 visits. So guys, I'm going to put the spotlight on Family Chiropractic. They love it when I do this, right? Spotlight on Family Chiropractic. You guys are the Brooksville location. They were amazing. Our 7th Division group yesterday had a chance to go visit your guys' office about an hour from here in Brooksville. And, you know, you guys totally shined. You were teaching practice owners from around the country how to do the simple things in practice. But how do you manage in that one location, you know, up to 400 visits a week? How do you guys work together in the way that you do and to do so? And how does that replicate in different offices? So I first off, just want to give a big shout out to the Family Chiropractic team. Well done, ladies. Good job. Awesome work. But I mean, if you're struggling, I'm overwhelmed at 100 visits a week, right? And you can talk to Lauren, you can talk to Emily, you can talk to anybody and go, well, how do you manage 300, 400 visits in a small location, right? I mean, because you guys have the new suite now, but before that, you guys had how many square feet was that little strip you guys had for the amount of years that you had? 1,200 square feet, right? And you guys hit up to 412. I think your guys' is like crazy peak. You hit that in 1 week. And how much square feet again? 1,200, right? Then it averaged around 350, 300, right? That's crazy. That's awesome, right? So again, great to pick their brain, right? You don't own the practice. You're managing it. You're running it. You're serving patients. And I think we all can learn from you guys. We can learn from Dr. Pearsall. We can learn from Tiffany and Georgie in the back, from Inez, from Josh. All of you guys have super unique practices that have models that are unique to you guys. And it's almost, I would say none of you practice the same almost, you know, but you have a foundation of how you run the practice. You have a foundation of what fuels the practice. And that's the systems with the Business Academy and the success you guys have had. So anyways, just make sure my whole point here is getting off my soapbox now, use the network in this room over lunch and around the weekend. 7th Division, those are multi-practice, 7-figure practices on their way to 8-figure clinics. I mean, those are the guys you want to rub elbows with, ask them questions, you know, how do you solve this problem? Because they've solved it 10 times over, right? So keep that in mind. With that being said, one reminder for those that didn't hear me this morning, didn't catch it in time. It might have traveled around the room here. We had a QR code and a sign somewhere here. Oh, I'm looking at you guys. That was me. Okay. All right. So I'm going to leave this here at the front. This QR code is going to give you all the slide decks from this weekend. So no need to take a picture of the slides and try to memorize everything on the slides here. Yes. And just click on this with your phone over the break or go to the website here on the bottom, bit.ly/workshop April 2023. And it'll be a Google folder that you'll have access to that will have the PDFs of every slide deck from this weekend. Okay. So I think the most important thing, take notes, but don't try to memorize the slides. Just soak in the experience and we'll all learn together here. Okay. So the next hour is going to be focused around what does it take to create a 5-star experience, like a Ritz-Carlton luxury experience for your patients. So docs, there's no doubt that you, as a chiropractor, as a provider, a nurse practitioner, you know, as a PT, no matter what your, you know, discipline is, I have no doubt that you guys can get results with patients if they're in front of you. But what makes this whole experience magic for the patient has to do with that. And as a non-doctor, I'm a little bit biased on this next part, which is, of course, the doctor's outcome and also the outcome that your team creates for the patient. They're never going to, you know, most of your team won't ever put hands on patients, but they are equally as vital to the overall outcome that the patient has in your office, whether it's through the five stars on Google, the referrals that come in, the VIP experience that they get, everything from tone of voice to professionalism to small touches to the office that can really make a huge difference. And what I want to do is share with you guys the Business Academy model of the little habits, the systems and disciplines we can all utilize as chiropractors, but also team members of chiropractic offices to create a 5-star, but more like a Ritz-Carlton experience. I'm going to tell you a story. Last year, me and my wife, we were blessed to be able to go and visit Italy. We were in Rome. And in fact, Dr. Brandy Chapman, who's next door, happened to be there the same weekend. And we met each other for pasta. It was a lot of fun. But it was interesting. My wife, she always wanted to go to the original Gucci store, right? Not to buy anything, just wanted to go and walk in, right? She saw House of Gucci. She's like, oh, just one day I want to go there, you know, just to walk in the original Gucci store. And in Rome is one of the original Gucci stores right there. So we're there. And this is what, for me, inspired me to kind of relook at this system and put some upgrades, glean on other offices, take from what you guys have done successfully, and kind of bring it all in to create that Gucci experience, that Ritz-Carlton experience in your office. Because when I walked in there, she walked in saying, I am, Ethan, don't engage. I'm not buying anything. The problem is I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff. So we walk in, they go, madame, okay. You know, and I'm like, is he French? Is he Italian? What's happening here? I'm so confused. And then he walks us over and he guided us. And the way he guided, it's like he was gliding on water. And I'm like, take me to your master. Where are we going here? And then take it all. And he's gliding us. He's walking us around. I was trying to also observe what is he doing? What are they teaching here? And like his body language and his tone of voice and his professionalism and like his energy. Right. And I could tell my wife's just like, don't do this. Just follow him. But I'm like, I was lost. And he goes, may I get you an espresso or a water or some champagne? And I say, yes to everything. You just said. And he said, would you like still or sparkling for the water? And I said, everything. He said, excellent, right this way, sir. And he walked us over. And then next thing you know, Ariana's trying on shoes. I'm just sitting there, sipping my espresso, drinking. I'm just loving it all. I have my champagne there. And I got it. She's just like, I told you, don't do it. Now I have shoes on my feet. No, this is not working. And then, but the funny thing was she walked in there with zero intention to make a luxury purchase. That's not on our wheelhouse. It's not something like we do, right? And she left there having made and been happy about making a luxury purchase. And she didn't go there going like 2 days later, oh, I so regret doing this. I'm going to figure out, I'm going to go back and return it. No, she's like, she wears those shoes now and it like has meaning to her, partially because of the brand. The other part though was the experience. And so I took notes of all those little things. And then having been to most of your guys' offices before, and seeing what you guys do well, little touches you have on things. And then just taking the Business Academy model for this as well, utilizing things like ARC, matching tone levels, being a good communicator, and putting that all in. I wanted to share with you guys in the next hour some things every one of us can do in our office every day. Most of you guys are probably doing most of this already, but maybe you have a better way to teach it to your staff now, or you might leave with some new ideas. So with that anticipation set, let's dive into it. All right, so this is key. These are key stats to recognize. I saw this report and it kind of was very interesting. So this study found that 33% of patients would consider switching healthcare providers due to poor customer service. This is healthcare. This is a research that I've done healthcare overall. Right? They'd be willing to and consider switching healthcare providers, not because of the outcome they're getting with their provider, but because of the experience. That's a third of people. So imagine the reverse of that. Imagine if you can be the place where those ones that want to switch want to come to, right? And you guys can take market share because they go, I've never been to a chiropractor, never been to a PT office, never been to a medical office that is like what you guys have. This is like the one differentiator we can make. Branding experts, right? Always talk about, you know, Seth Godin, David Breyer, and all these guys. Yeah, you can have the right colors and the right name and the right logo. But the real thing is, and you, with your brand of your practice, if you want to really create a brand experience, it's by number one, being a differentiator. What differentiates you from everybody else? And to me, if you guys can put this stuff in place, you can be a differentiator for these 33% of patients. And just by that experience alone, can attract a lot more new patients and other patients back in your office. So three components I want to cover today: hospitality, flow, and outcome. All right, I'll give you guys some insight to each of these. And I'm also going to kind of pass the mic around because I think the list of things that you can do to optimize this experience as a whole is endless. So I might give you guys 10 or 12 things today. I know I could just probably pass the mic around for the last half an hour and you guys could share your experiences of how to create that five-star experience of the patient. All right. So number one, how patients feel when they come into the office is the first component of a successful patient experience. I mentioned this quote earlier. They may forget your name, but they will never forget how you made them feel. All right. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So they might forget your name. They might forget, but they'll never forget the feeling that they left in. Right. This is a really foundational quote to think with. Most of you guys have heard that before, but it's worth reiterating. All right, so a couple key points here. Let's dive into systems here. So 5 points here for new patient hospitality, right? We talked about this in the communication closing seminar. We discussed this in other trainings, but the first, your close for a new patient on a cash service starts in the first 5 seconds of that new patient walking in and also the first 5 minutes before they ever see a doctor or a case manager for a consult. So if you guys are tracking here, the close starts, meaning the closing, the patient's excited to say yes to your recommendations. It starts or you lose it in the first 5 seconds. It starts or you could lose it in the first 5 minutes before they ever go back and see the doctor. So the patient first walks into the office. Who is the first team member they usually will ever interact with? Front desk. That's right. So that's why the front desk Rockstar certification is redone, available online to get every one of you guys through. Everyone should be cross-trained in that because that will have the 33 modules that are in there. I got to co-host that training seminar with Michaela Quinn, who is the regional manager for Family Chiropractic. There's a reason they can serve 1,700 to 1,800 visits a week and to do so with a five-star experience. And she shares a lot of that in that training course for you guys. With that being said, the front desk is that first point, and these first 5 seconds and 5 minutes are so important. So number one, as I mentioned earlier, this is ARC reality. Use their favorite word always, right? Which is their name. So, you're a front desk person, right? You're a front desk rock star and you're there and you go, well, I've never met this patient before. It's a new patient. I've never seen them before. How am I going to know their name? I don't want to call the wrong person the wrong name. So it's a pretty simple answer. How would you know the schedule, right? So you have a new patient at 2. A patient walks in. You're gonna have more patients that come in at 2 o'clock as well. You got somebody walks into the office and you've never seen them before and it's 2 o'clock. Who do you think that person is? I would bet my paycheck that's the new patient, right? If it's not, it's probably the FedEx guy or something. If you get his name wrong, it's not the end of the world, right? You call him Sandra, it's okay, right? But if you address that new patient, Sandra, welcome to our office. Ooh, first 5 seconds. Mrs. Smith, welcome to our office. Ooh, right? Just a little touch. That's the first 5 seconds. So they hear their favorite word. And then you want them to what? See their favorite word, which is their name. So I took this from Advanced Physical Medicine in Gilbert, Arizona. Dr. Scott Hatzenbiller and team, if you guys are watching, shout out to you guys. They had this simple yet very brilliant idea. They took a whiteboard, put it at the front desk, and had some of the, with some of the girls take all the 16 different colors that you can do with dry erase markers. And they put welcome in really big, beautiful kind of calligraphy, you know, dry erase writing there with all the different colors on it. And it says this beautiful welcome. And then 5 minutes before a new patient comes in, guess what they write underneath welcome? They put Jim or Sandra, nice big letters. And the moment the patient leaves to go to the consult, they erase it. And then 5 minutes before the next new patient comes in, they'll put Tim on there, right? Of course, don't violate HIPAA, right? Don't put their full name there, obviously. But the first name is usually fine, or Mrs. Smith, or, you know, whatever is comfortable for you guys' company, or your guys' regional culture there. So they see it and they hear it, right? It's so cool. Ethan, welcome to the office. Oh, I got Ethan here. Welcome here. Like, I first 5 seconds, that can really give you a head start on this new patient experience. Next thing, similar to what I experienced when I walked into that luxury store, similar to what most of you guys already provide, always have coffee, water, and tea station ready on a silver platter. Literally get a silver platter. You can buy one for 10 bucks. Like, get one of those and make it, like, polish it. Go to the Goodwill, thrift it out, Georgie. Polish it up, make it look good, right? And because that was the one thing I got when I was in that store, when he came out with the champagne and the espresso and the water, it was on a really nice Gucci branded silver platter. And he placed it here very carefully. I took it and I'm like, it's created the experience. So great, welcome to the office. May I get, you know, here's your paperwork. If it's not filled out already, may I get your ID, insurance card? Excellent. And Lauren, may I get you some coffee, water, or tea? Water, sparkling or still? Great, excellent. Boom, I get that for her. I hand it to her. Here you go, right? And they want coffee. You get the coffee ready. Would you like cream, sugar? You get a very specific order, right? We're creating an experience. This is the first minute now that we're into this experience, right? Ideally, if we have a good system electronically through your website, through companies like Zingit or ReviewWave to text out the paperwork ahead of time so they don't have to think about it when they come in, right? Get that done. Not everybody's going to do that, but if you can get them to do it, it just improves their experience, not just for the schedule, but for them not have to do sit there and get a magnifying glass and fill everything out, and just, it makes it much better. If you can convert your patient paperwork off of 62 times Xeroxed over paperwork. So first off, guys, if you have paperwork in your office that's been Xeroxed 62 times over the last 12 years, and it's kind of like a shade of its former self, and it's kind of crooked, and it's like 7 different fonts on 3 different pieces of paper. Maybe you guys don't have that, but I've been in offices recently where I'm like, why? This is the easiest fix right now, right? Convert it to digital. Get it. Talk to your website. If you have your webmaster, your website company, get it onto your website. Have it on an iPad, right? Walk the patient through it if they have to, or at the very least, if you are doing paper for any reason on intake paperwork, just make it look professional. Give it to one of your team members to retype it out onto a nice Canvas sheet, have the paperwork there, have it consistent. This makes all the difference and a nice touch. So that's going to be key. Okay, number 4. This one might be new to most, and not all of you guys will have the ability to do this based on your schedule. But if you do, or if you can, it will make the biggest difference. Dr. Gary talks about this one all the time. A doctor introduction while the patient is waiting to go back into their consult. Meaning I just walked in, I heard my name, saw my name, insurance card, ID. I have my little coffee here. It came out on a silver platter. I picked it up. I'm having my experience, do my paperwork, right? Typing that in. And then the doctor, whoever's doing the exam or the practice owner gets a quick IM or a quick notification, new patient in waiting room or something like that. Have your code, right? Whatever it might be. The doctor comes out to the waiting room and let's assume Kelly's the patient and this is another waiting room chair right next to her. And as a doctor, I'm going to go off screen for a second, pardon me, but I'm going to walk over and go, you must be Kelly. Hi, let's assume I'm a doctor. I'm Dr. Ethan. How are you? Good. Welcome to our office. So again, if there's no other patients in the waiting room, you can ask her quickly, what brought you in today?
My back.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. You're not doing a consult. You're just getting a quick back and forth here. Okay, well, I just wanted to make sure that we kind of set our intention for today. So we've helped many people with that issue. However, what we need to do is a full consultation and exam to see if we can help you and if you're a candidate for care. If you're not for any reason, then I'm going to go ahead and refer you out to a specialist that I'm confident can help you with your case. But if you are, then we're going to see if we can set a plan in place for you and see if we can help you, okay? Awesome. You're going to be speaking to our case manager next. He's going to be getting a lot of information for me ahead of the exam. So just give her as much data as you can. That'll help me diagnose the case, okay? Thank you so much. Good to have you here. Awesome. So I'm in and out in 60 seconds, 90 seconds, hopefully 2 minutes. Now, not every patient's going to be that efficient with their communication. Some will start talking to the doctor. And so it might be a little longer sometimes, but you're not doing a consult in the waiting room. You're just doing a quick introduction. You're setting the intention. And as Dr. Gary says, or asks, when was the last time you went to a medical office of any sort and a doctor came out to the waiting room to welcome you to the office? Ever? Right? Wow factors, differentiators, right? Make yourself different in every possible way to that new patient. Again, you haven't even had a consult yet with this person. They haven't gone in for an exam and they're already starting to know, like, and trust you with these differentiators. Last point here. So obviously the tour is also going to be key, right? So the last point here is a good office tour, a 5-star practice tour. It's not just showing them where the restrooms are, where the consult room is. It's doing a number of things to really create an experience. So of course, where do they sign in? You want to show them and tour them through all your service centers. Show them people doing rehab. Show them people getting adjusted. Show them people doing exercises. Show them people on traction, right? What is that doing? It's starting to trigger little things in the patient's mind. What is it triggering? And they see other people doing the thing that they're later going to have to make a decision on doing. It's going to start giving them social proof. So if you guys want to write that word down, social proof is key. Social proof really just means, got that one? Good. Okay. Good. Social proof. Just all it means is you have proof that people are doing it in a social setting. The thing, they're doing the thing. Everyone else is doing this. You don't have to tell them everybody comes here for back pain. Thus, look at everybody doing this stuff to solve this problem. You just got to give them a tour. This is where we do our chiropractic adjustments. This is going to be where we have rehab space. We do, you know, exercises to help regain strength and function in the body. We have this over here, our state-of-the-art decompression, you know, machine over here to solve this problem. And as you're giving them that, the patient's going, huh, they're looking, they're watching. They're looking how your staff are performing. They're looking at little things like the diplomas on the wall that you have everywhere in your office. You should have certifications and diplomas framed everywhere in your practice, right? That's super important. That also gives more authority and social proof to who you are and why you can help them. And then so overall, there's one you want to have them see that. Of course, do not forget the restroom. There's nothing more awkward than being in a super amazing place, but not knowing where the bathroom is, right? So take that worry away from the patient, you know, make sure in the tour that they know where the restroom is right away and know how to get there. So they don't have to be worried about that. Like I said, certifications and diplomas, every possible certification and diploma you have that gives you letters, doctors behind your name. Don't be shy with those. Dr. Gary has one wall in a hallway that new patients see every time they walk and do a tour. It's probably like 62 different diplomas and certifications of all of his providers, of his staff. He's even got like TVA stuff on there. Like, it's just get everything you can up there. And Dr. Gary's case manager or front desk goes, this is our wall of sacrifice. What that means is this is all the sacrifice that all of our providers have gone through, the years they've sacrificed to become professionals in the disciplines that they're in, so we can serve people like you in the best way that we can, right? Wow, that's cool, right? Like, I'm a new patient. I'm feeling more confident now, right? Again, this won't be like conscious to the patient in most cases, but subconsciously, there's little things happening, right? These are all ways you can get ahead of it. This one's key too. Number E, the wellness warrior board. Every one of you guys, absolutely, if you don't have one, have a wellness warrior board or a success story board or a testimonial board, right? You don't need to have 72 testimonials on the thing. What I like to do and to have in place is have 6, maybe 3 rows of 3 at 9, but max, that's as what you want. You don't need to have the entire patient testimonial in like number 6 fonts, be the entire page like this on there. What you want, if a patient gives a really awesome review and they're willing to share it on the wellness board, or they write one up in your office of some sort, take the important things and make it like font 42, real big. So I had back pain. I was in construction, had back pain. Now I live pain-free. Like, get that really big font and a big picture, the patient and a provider right there. So what I'm doing, if I'm a patient, I'm glancing by and I'm looking at the existing patients in the office. I'm seeing who else here is like me, right? I'm not saying that consciously. I'm looking at who else here is like me. Okay, I'm younger. I'm 37, right? So, okay. I'm a weekend warrior kind of guy. I'm in an office and I see a lot of other kind of weekend warrior kind of CrossFitter looking dudes. Okay, I'm just noticing it, right? These people are like me, right? If I go to the wellness board and the person doing the practice tour says, Ethan, this is our Wellness Warrior Board. These are all of our patients. That is a number of patients we've served that not only have gotten through care in our office, but also have moved on to continued wellness in our practice and have gotten their life back to what they've always wanted to do. You know, something real simple. And I go, okay, awesome. And I might, if I'm lucky, I might see a word or a person that is like me. I'm a construction guy, right? Let's say I see a guy that says, I'm a construction worker. I had back pain. I might glance and go, oh, that's me. Maybe I won't. I don't know. But you want to put yourself in the best possible situation you can for that new patient. All right. So we got here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got favorite name, see it and hear it, coffee, tea, water, a really good doctor introduction. And we got an amazing 5-star practice tour. So with that being said, we won't have time all day to be practicing all the scripting around this. But I want you guys to do is I want you to partner up with somebody else. I want you to partner in threes or in fours this time. And I want you guys to share, if you do any of this, how you do it in your practice with the group. And if you don't do any of these, what is the next thing you want to bring into your office starting Monday and how you would implement that? I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes for this one. So group up in threes and fours. If you do any of this, share how you've implemented it. If you don't, what can you start with first day Monday? I'm going to bring Maria up here. All right, Dr. Clark, I'm going to have you guys do a little quad situation here. Maria, here we go. Dr. Ryan, Stacy, Dr. Kelly. Awesome. Okay, I love it, guys. Let's start from the front row here. What is one little pointer you can probably give all of us, something that you guys do in your practice that kind of adds to a new patient experience? You can share the group. That's on, by the way. That's going to be for the Zoom crowd here.
So I would like to actually just say how much I like the idea of the bulletin board, you know, the whiteboard with their names, front desk saying their name. And I also really like the doctor intro.
Awesome. Perfect. So, I love it.
Yeah.
Get that rolling. Let's pass the mic down. Let's go there. Yeah, there you go, girl. All right. So either... in your practice, what do you already do and how do you guys adapt that to your operations, or on Monday, what do you guys want to add?
So something that we already are implementing, which has worked amazingly for our new patients and just existing patients, Dr. Rossio helped formulate an electrolyte blend. And so we actually offer patients that come in, it's Florida, it's hot, who doesn't want electrolytes, you know, to get them going and to kind of set the tone of that office visit. So we offer them those electrolytes when they come in, and of course, we don't really promote coffee. It's just something Dr. Rossio doesn't like that. Yep. But, you know, we promote those electrolytes, hot tea if they like it. And then while they're sitting and waiting for the doctor, and typically when they come back to meet with me or the doctor, like, what was that that I was drinking? And then it actually sells itself as well. So it's kind of a dual little thing that we do. Yeah.
Light bulbs just went off there. That's good. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Portia.
Yeah.
That's good. Now I'm going to have you bring it back to Maria. I'll be in the back now. Maria flew her and Dr. Arthur and the whole fam flew all the way from Laguna Beach, California, cross country, to hang out in Florida from the sun to the sun. That's right. Okay. So, I really admire what you and your family have done to build this ambiance of a clinic, which you guys have. It's almost like nothing I've ever heard of before. So maybe give us a quick snapshot of some differentiators in hospitality and kind of and your guys' experience that you guys do when the new patient kind of first comes into the office.
I think just our like
ambiance.
Oh yeah. Yep. Oh yes. Yeah. Okay, so I think our ambiance that you're talking about, we just have a very like tropical kind of feel to our office. We have an ocean view, so that's really nice. Patients while they're getting treatment just can look at the ocean. And
we're all like, oh man, must be nice. Yeah.
So typically we'll take people on a tour, show them that. And then we've just recently implemented like the tea as well. But I think just like the family vibe is a big thing, just kind of making people feel like this is a family and they're joining into that. And I think that's just like comes naturally with, you know, embodying that in your practice. I would say those are kind of the main stand part things.
And the last thing I think about with your clinic, it does not feel like a clinic in any way, shape, or form.
True.
There's nothing in there that seems clinical at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's experiential.
Yes.
That's what it is, which is very cool. So while we all might not have ocean views like you guys, you know, we could definitely still, again, incorporate that level of, you know, what makes your office experiential, which is going to be key.
Yeah.
Awesome. We go to our Zoom audience here just for a minute. Let's see. Who do we got there? All right. Of course, Chelsea, my girl. What's up, Chelsea? Jump on in here. All right. So at Southwest Spine and Rehab, what is one differentiator you guys give with hospitality for your new patients? Either something you've already mentioned or something we haven't mentioned yet for our new patients. I'll let you go ahead.
So we've actually tried to implement everything that we kind of just talked about. We just started the coffee and tea station this week, actually. So it's actually been a huge success with our patients that have been with us and are almost done with their care plan. They like, when did you guys start this? How come I didn't get it on my first day? I love this. And like all of the like snacks and like the coffee was gone in like 2 days. And so like just having that out there, I realized like, hey, I probably should have listened to Ethan a lot sooner.
Great job. That's awesome though. You know, there's two times, what's the old saying? There's two times to plant a tree. 20 years ago when you should have, and today. So you can still do it today. You can start today, which is what you did. Awesome. Great job. Thanks, Chelsea. Appreciate that. So little things, guys, that go a long way here. All right. So with that being said, thank you guys for sharing all these experiences. Again, we'll keep the mastermind going. Let's go to the next slide. When it comes to flow, these are a couple things I want you guys to think of. Efficiency and ease with which patients move through your office is important. Negative impact on patient experience if they have kept waiting too long or are rushed through their appointment. So without getting too much into the weeds on this, one thing I will say you must do as a busy clinic, you must, this is uncompromised on the schedule, is you must do a shift huddle before every shift. It will just wait times, schedule mismanagement, problems, it will just be a mess. I know most of you guys already do morning huddles, shift huddles, but if you don't, because you guys did such a lovely job yesterday of demonstrating your shift huddle for all the doctors that were at your office yesterday, let's pass the mic back up here if we can. And I'm gonna have you guys just kind of bullet point. Let's just do like a quick morning huddle, just bullet point for us, what you cover before shift or in the morning there. And this is gonna be your entire team, right? It's the staff, it's doctor, staff, front desk. Now this isn't a half an hour meeting, right?
No, it's like maybe 5 minutes.
Maybe 5 minutes.
Maybe. Like if it gets that long, then there's just like something that we need to go through on the schedule, but it's pretty quick. It's how many new patients are on the schedule, how many day twos are coming in, if there's any instructions for the doctor, if there's any therapies that need to be done. I mean, it's just make sure that the flow goes nicely from the front all the way to the doctor.
You guys take note, like, I know sometimes you guys do too, you'll take note, where are our like super crazy jammed times?
Yes.
Like, okay, we're going to have like three new patients and we're going to have like two re-exams and all within this like and like a bunch more patients all during this 1 hour period.
Yeah. So if we see something when it happens like that, that's when we're like, all right, well, now we have a game plan because we kind of did this to ourselves. So what's the plan? All right, we're going to take this person back first, then we're going to do this. So it shows us, all right, well, this is why we don't do this, because now we have to figure out how to fix it and make sure that we don't get behind in the schedule.
That's right. So imagine a scenario where you guys don't do a morning huddle or a shift huddle and you guys have a busy day, right? Because you guys are too busy. We don't have time to do a huddle because, right? There's no time for it. Well, then what ends up happening?
The communication is completely off between the front desk, the back office, and then the doctor. The flow is just completely off for the rest of the morning. And then that's when you realize, okay, we need to make sure we do an afternoon huddle because that was very chaotic.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So such as you increase the volume and your practice gets busier, which it should, right? It should get busier and more exciting. That huddle in the morning and the shift is so important, even if it's just 2 to 3 minutes minimally of mm-hmm. going over the schedule, troubleshooting, getting everyone on the same page, you know, and working out how we're going to have plan B and plan C ready. Basically. You know, when it good. Also, next thing I'll just say, it's so important, guys. Make sure, put emphasis, docs, managers, on cross training. Just make the time to cross train every team member and everything else. So a front desk should be able to put patients on therapy. Someone who's a decompression CA should be able to handle new patient calls, right? A doctor should be able to reschedule a patient on the phone, right? Like an office manager should be able to do it all, right? Right, Tiffany, how important is that Georgia knows how to do all this stuff and you know how to do all this stuff and the front knows how to do all this stuff? Like
at any point in time, you might need to fill in. If you don't have that knowledge, then you're
Yes. Yep. Nope. Because we focus on cross training a lot. And you guys are mostly all cross training pretty much everything in the office. So let me pass the mic down to Georgie here. Okay, Georgie, you ready? It's coming for you. One, two. There it is.
So there was one, I feel like it was like a movie. So the three of us are CAs, Hannah, Whitney, and I, and it was like a movie one morning. Tiffany was, I think all of us did in 1 hour. We were triple booked in like every time slot, and all of us did every single position at least once. So we're like tossing heat packs on this wing, grabbing this patient's file, see like nobody's in there scribing, and nobody really spoke to each other other than quick, quick, quick. But we noticed a position was empty, and we all knew that something had to happen in that flow. So we were like, that person's taking my patient off therapy because I quickly had to cover front desk. Like, it was just one of those kind of chaotic moments. But because everybody knew what to do, everybody did everything and like covered it just for that one like chaotic moment. And all of us kind of like looked at each other often and were like, oh my gosh, like that was amazing.
We saw 12 patients in an hour. How?
And yeah. It was great.
That's so good. And describe too, just for everybody here's edification. You guys, now most everybody has some sort of a flag system or a light system. You guys have a pretty cool, innovative little push button light system between each room that visually gives everyone cues too.
Like on top of our front desk can like, they know like the sounds of like that's the stim machine going off and like blah, blah, blah. They change the numbers in our Eclipse system and stuff. So every patient is numbered in which room or, you know, they're there. But then on top of that, we can see lights on all of our doors. And we have like red means that that's the next patient. Green means the doctor's in. Blue means that room is not clean and not ready for a patient. So whoever's supposed to do that covers that. And then white means that there is a patient in there. So we always know like if a room's available and who or what needs to be done.
Give me a hand. Good job. Great job, Jordan. Awesome. Good. And I know most of you guys, you might use a flag system, right? With various different demarcations for what it means to the room. So just that these are all key important things. The main idea here is 1 minute in planning can prevent up to 10 minutes in wasted execution. Just 1 minute in planning, right? So that 5 minute huddle, a little bit of training and cross training will just save countless hours of chaos when instituted. Now, here's one thing to look out for when you implement these things. Sometimes not everybody, including ourselves here in the room, we don't always love change, right? We don't always like change. Doc comes back from a seminar and he's, oh my God, I got 60,000 different ideas we're gonna do right now. It's like, oh, you did that last 72 times. You went to the last 72 seminars. Okay. So not everybody loves change. We get it, right? But that's why team staff, you guys are here today, right? It's not just up to your doc to take it and then to bring it back. We want to have you guys involved in this process to make these changes with the entire intention to make your job easier. And then, of course, also at the same time, we improve flow, reduce waiting times, and the patient's experience goes through with ease. The last thing you want to become is an amazing high volume, like you're seeing lots of patients, serving lots of people, but then the patient, you lose out on the patient experience. And that's the reason why, again, you guys can be triple booked, but the experience still feels like I'm the only person there as a patient. While you guys can be seeing over, you know, over 1,500 patient visits a week between all six offices, and you go like, well, I don't want to have like it's like the cattle coming in and out, right? It's just, I don't want people to feel like they're being herded through the office. No, the experience is still there, right? And these are things that can help along with that. All right, good. There is a video I want to show you here on the importance of practice, training, cross-training, and just being efficient with your space. This comes from one of my favorite movies, The Founder. It's with Michael Keaton, and it's kind of the story of how McDonald's came to be what it is. I hate McDonald's, but I love the model, how they scaled across the world, right? So if you can take your guys' product is 10,000 times better than their product, right? And let's make sure we can also, you know, scale it effectively as much as possible. And this is a fun scene from that movie.
You got to tell him. Tennis court. Okay. He brings me up to this tennis court and he's drawn this line, the exact dimensions of our kitchen.
Sink on the right, extruder on the left. Hooter. Bagging and hood.
Hood.
Okay.
Garnish.
This is
burger.
Finish.
Got it.
And then this is burger slide. We could just move those.
Okay.
Multi mixer soft drinks.
Okay. We bring out our whole staff and we have them go through the motions, making pretend burgers and fries.
All right, Steve, anticipate that. You got to keep the tray level. Okay.
And Dick is running around with this stick, marking where all the equipment should be.
Tuck in. Tony, are you going to skip the pickles when we're really doing it?
They do it over and over, hashing it out, choreographing it like some crazy burger ballet.
Going on over there?
Yes. No. No. Hey, stop. Stop. Garnish one. Garnish two. You've got pickles. You've got onions. It's a goddamn hamburger.
Come on, clear off.
Let's clear off. Time for the pink chalk. And then rip your orange. See all this open space here now? We've rearranged the fry situation. So now the stage left, the deep fryer stage right. Begin. That's great. Come on, guys.
They're pretty tied up
here. Yeah, watch it. Lazy Susan. It's the timing. It's the Lazy Susan. Those are finished burgers. You can't. Hold it. I still think there's a third version.
What do you want to move?
I want to move everything. Back to stage left, please.
I think we've got it all drawn. This is better.
Is that all right? I think so. I guess look, let's assume our battle station.
Okay.
Finally, after about 6 hours of this, we get it just right. It's a symphony of efficiency, not a wasted motion.
Good form, Jasper.
Feel good about those pickles.
Catch up.
Here's your Lazy Susan. Put your back into it, Seth. And pickles. Mustard.
We take the layout to a builder, custom build the kitchen to our exact specs.
Ta-da, the SpeedD system is born, the world's first ever system to deliver food fast. It is totally revolutionary.
Pretty cool, right? It's fun. So you can think with, how does that translate to your practice, right? What could you do with training, tomorrow? I mean, remember when we were at your guys' office? You weren't there. This was years ago. This is before Lauren's time. That's right. But I did an exercise with the whole family chiropractic team, and we took a bunch of tennis balls. And Irina remembers this one when I was at your practice. Tennis ball example, the fluff for flow. You're there when we did it. It'll come back to you. Yes. So we did is we got the team in a circle. I got 3 to 5 tennis balls. I said, all right, guys, let's start with one tennis ball and toss it around. This is your patient. Everyone tosses the tennis ball around. Everyone catches it more or less. The patient doesn't get dropped and it's fine. Like, again, we're fine. There's no real flow or sequence of who's doing what next, but let's add in another patient, another marketing campaign. And then now we got 2 balls in play here. And then we got another tennis ball. So it's working. We got 3 tennis balls. Now there's more patients. There's no system. And what eventually happens? People get hit in the head with a tennis ball. It bounces around everywhere, right? So no flow, no system. So what I did is we rewind the tape and then I just go, all right, let's create a sequence here. So it's going to go from Georgie to Hannah to Whitney to Tiffany to Dr. Colin. Let's create a sequence, get this person next. And now let's toss this one tennis ball around. In that sequence, you can toss it across the circle, the next person, but we follow the exact sequence, people wearing certain hats and certain roles and certain times. And then, yeah, no big difference with one tennis ball. You're seeing one patient. You don't need any organization. You can still serve that patient. You can do it in the broom closet. It's fine, right? But when you start adding in more patients into it, more tennis balls. It's funny what happens. Within about 5 minutes of that system being worked, I could throw in 7 tennis balls and everyone's just like this across the room. And there's tennis balls. It looks like some just magical acrobatic experience happening and nobody's dropping the ball. Everyone before complained, I don't know how, I'm not great at catching things, and all of a sudden, somehow magically, everyone knows how to catch and throw. And it's like this and it works. Because there's a flow, there's a system, there's hats, there's an org chart, there's roles and responsibilities, there's cross training, there's a sequence, right? Imagine trying to organize your new patients to where they came into the office, saw the doctor first, the front desk next, the case manager last, and then went and talked to your biller before they left. No, that sequence doesn't work. There's a reason every one of you guys have a new patient sequence in your office. And most of your sequences are worked out. But again, this dialed in more can help keep the flow moving even better. All right. Another thing with flow, this is more of a This is when they got, I forgot the word Michaela uses this, but it's in the front desk course where when you have patients that are waiting, right? There's a really is a phrase that she uses, and it's not coming to me now, but you want to do like check-ins, like have a system for check-ins with the patient. Okay, so it's a crazy day. There is some waiting, right? So the worst thing you can do is the patient's waiting and it feels like they're waiting. So when you're in a doctor's office, what's not happening when you feel like you're waiting? No one's talking to you. No one's checking in with you. And then the waiting feels a lot like waiting. So you never, even if there is waiting, you never want to make the patient feel like they're waiting. So these kind of check-ins are super important. Always making sure to check in with waiting patients. So if they're in a hot seat and near the rehab space, or they're in the front desk as a new patient, every team member knowing, okay, if there's a patient in a hot seat and they're waiting, or the patient waiting over here, these team members are responsible for checking in every 60 seconds, every 90 seconds. Great, 90 seconds or a small talk, let them know there's just me a few more minutes. Don't make it feel like they're waiting. And this is another way you can apply it too. So the Ritz-Carlton Hotel chain, they have a really great rule. It's called the 10-5-2 rule. And it works, it's pretty simple. It's a great way to empower your team to acknowledge and engage patients in three specific times during their appointment. Okay. So it's a 10 feet, 5 feet, and 2 feet system of engagement with the patient. So 10 feet, when a patient is 10 feet from an employee, the employee should make eye contact and smile and acknowledge the patient's presence. Right? Just, right? 10 feet. Maybe they can't talk to them, I'm 10 feet away, but I'm seeing you. I'm acknowledging your presence. You train that in your team, and all of you guys practice that 10 feet, then 10 feet. If it's within 5 feet, the team member should give a sincere greeting and address the patient by their name, right? About 5-ish feet here. Oh, hey, Stacey, good to see you. Awesome. So I'm within a 5 feet range. If I'm 10 feet, she's way over there. It's just, it's an acknowledgement, eye contact, and presence. So this is key, especially when patients are waiting, right? 2 feet, when a patient's within 2 feet, the employee should engage in a personalized conversation, anticipate the patient's needs, provide assistance, and be informative as necessary, right? So that would change from 5 feet walking by, oh, hey, Stacey, good to see you again. Awesome. Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks. And I'm walking on by, right? Or she's walking by, right? But if I'm 2 feet and she's sitting down, hey, great to see you again. How are the kids? Oh my gosh. You got any pictures? Of course. Yeah, right? So I'm engaging in a more personalized way. So the 10 feet, 5 feet, and 2 feet rule. So think with that, right? Again, presence acknowledged, greeting, personalized, quick conversation. This can also be used, of course, to make sure they're comfortable regarding their next step and what's going to be happening next regarding time and timeliness. So the 10, 5, and 2. All right. So obviously the idea is that following this rule, employees, all of you guys, who want to connect with patients in a meaningful way, provide memorable and personalized experiences that sets them apart from any other practice. Again, wow factors, differentiators. That's all these are. Okay, so outcome. All right, let's talk about outcome for a second. So this isn't doctor outcome or patient outcome with their care. This is the outcome of their experience with you guys. So how patients feel when they walk out is the third component of a successful patient experience. So positive outcome is crucial to creating this 5-star experience. All right, so I'm going to share a story here. If you go, I found this in a blog post from Ritz-Carlton a while back. I'm just going to share with you guys. I know it's kind of small font here, but it says, one day a family staying at the Ritz-Carlton in Amelia Island, Florida, discovered that their son had left his favorite stuffed animal, a giraffe named Joshy, behind their hotel room. The family called the hotel to ask if the toy had been found, but unfortunately it had not been located. So the hotel staff knew how much Joshy meant to the little boy, so they decided to go above and beyond to try to find the missing toy. They searched the room again and again, but Joshy was still nowhere to be found. Undeterred, the staff went out and bought a new giraffe toy and had all the staff members sign a note that read, "We hope you love your new giraffe friend. Love, the Ritz-Carlton." They then took a photo of the new toy in various locations around the hotel, such as the front desk, by the pool, in the dining room, and emailed the pictures to the family, explaining that Joshy was taking an extended vacation at the hotel. The little boy was overjoyed to receive the pictures and the giraffe toy, and he thought it was so funny that Joshy was on vacation. When the family returned home, Joshy was waiting for them in a package with a photo album documenting all the adventures they had while staying at the Ritz-Carlton. This exceptional service and attention to detail by the Ritz-Carlton staff is a great example of the power of hospitality and how it can create a memorable experience for their guests, right? So maybe you can't do all that. Maybe you could, but think of right now, like what would be an example of a time you've done this or something similar or could do to really make an experience like just they're never going to forget about your guys' brand. That's branding. That is differentiation. That is, you know, exceptional. I want you guys to think of that right now. Think of an example in your head of a time you've done something like this for a patient or for a family of a patient, or, you know, they basically treated them like a VIP in a personalized way. I know all of you guys have experiences. I'd love to pass the mic around to see how you created those outcomes with your patients. So I'll give you guys another second or two to think of a time you've done something similar. Something comes to mind. I got you. All right. Good. If the mic is next to you, go ahead and raise your hand. Thank you much. Doctor, awesome. All right, you got one? Let's do it.
Okay, so actually this just happened like recently within the last week. We just had a mom and her kid come in, and the kid's nonverbal and autistic, and he was very, you could tell he was just very uncomfortable. He was loud, he was screaming and crying. And he carried a stuffed animal with him. And our doctor has this stuffed animal. Was it a tiger? I don't know why, but he has it in his office. And so Lauren kind of went out of her way to get the stuffed animal, take it to the kid and kind of show him and like get him engaged with it and help kind of calm him down and stuff. So again, just kind of going out of your way to see what the patient likes, see what you can do to help them, and just kind of just going out of your way is something that's really good.
Give me a hand. I love that. That's a great story. Perfect. All right. Let's pass it out. Oh, yep. Get the George. Dr. Pierce, why don't you share yours first, and I'll have to pass that to Georgie there.
So we have a few patients, of course, that are pregnant. And so we offer, and a lot of them take us up on it, that when the baby's born, that we'll actually do a home visit to go and adjust the mom and the infant. So
awesome. That's great. That's really good. I like that.
We have two really, really special ones. One of them, another, we had a patient adjusted her and her husband through their pregnancy. Well, her pregnancy, I guess her pregnancy, but and then once the baby was born, we did end up adjusting him eventually, but he at his first visit, we had a bunch of like gifts for her, like diapers. We even gave him a onesie that said like a well-adjusted baby. Yeah. Just cute stuff like that. And we had another patient, VA. Very difficult, but she has a lot of like loneliness. So she often will come and just chat to all of us about everything. But she told every single person in our waiting room, as well as every staff member, about the quilt sales at her building. And eventually my mom had bought 5 of the quilts and then sent her to pick out which ones we could take home. So after it was very meaningful to her. And then she got to go and pick out which ones that she liked for us. So yeah.
That's cool. Mom, great job. That's awesome. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Good. One thing I wanted to say too, it's hard to scale that experience to every patient, every time, all the time. So, but always just be on the lookout for ways, right, to create that experience. And then as you do that, pass that part of your company culture to your team. Like, make that a thing in your office. These are things that are these things low on the emotional tone scale or high and positive on the emotional tone scale? They're high, right? These are good things. So if you have a team member, just an aside, if you have a team member who gets grumpy and doesn't like these kind of things, that's like a sign. Like, come on, company culture, this is what we are. It's our agreement. This is what we're doing here, right? Like, so we don't want that in the office. And if you're just doing good for people and making an amazing experience, everyone should be on board in your team to do so. All right. So this is what we want to avoid.
Medium turkey chili. Medium crab bisque.
You didn't get any bread.
Just forget it. Let it go.
Excuse me, I think you forgot my bread.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3! Nothing for you.
So don't be a soup Nazi in your office, right? You don't do that. Because, right? I mean, the one thing that, well, he was good because he had amazing soup, so they can get away with that. And you have an amazing service. But imagine if you weren't like that and you have an amazing product at the same time, right? So, you know, always find ways to tell the patient yes, if you can. Even if the answer is no. Like, you don't have to say, no, we can't do that here. You can be like, okay, we don't provide that service here, but we're happy to refer you to somebody that can, right? We may not be in network, but we're going to go ahead and work out the financial options to make it work for you. Instead of saying, we don't take your insurance, right? Like, find ways to say yes creatively so the patient doesn't feel like you're pushing them away, right? So avoid that and find more ways to get to yes. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There's the source of it right there. Said it a few times today. All right, good. So let's move on to professionalism. This one's going to be key. We want to practice these right now. Okay, I'm going to walk through each one of these with you. These are some really simple do's and don'ts you guys can take home and do staff meetings on and trainings on beyond just what's happening today. Real simple. Okay, here's the do. May I get your name, please? Here's the don't. What's your name? What's your name is a casual way. Something wrong with that. Hey, what's your name? Or what's your name? Right? But what is that? It's a casual, informal, non-professional way to get someone's name. Again, this is a Ritz-Carlton experience. May I get your name, please? Right? Most of us know this, but it's important that we train a new team members in our office on this that may not have had this training before. It might seem second nature, but it's really important. This is what you want to do. Offer assistance to patients proactively, such as by asking if they need help finding their way around the office or providing them with water or snacks while they wait. This is key, right? If you see a patient, give me the wandering eyes look of a patient who doesn't know where they're going. Just give it to me really fast and look around the room, right? The moment you see that, guess what your cue is? You walk up to them. Oh, can I help you find anything? You know, or right this way, let's go ahead and get you on your next treatment, you know, or whatever it might be. So look for the wandering eyes. That means they don't know where they're going. What you don't want to do is ignore the patients or wait for them to ask you for help, which can leave them feeling neglected or frustrated. All right. Here's the do. Personalize the patient experience, such as by remembering their preferences or previous interactions and tailoring your approach accordingly. Like I said earlier, know their story. Don't treat patients as interchangeable or irrelevant or fail to follow up on previous conversations or requests. That's a key one. If you tell your patient you're going to get something for them, even if you don't, this is a key one in the front desk course as well. Michaela talks about this. Even if you don't have their information yet, at least call them back when you said you would. So a patient has a question about their MRI or their medical records or something like that, right? If you go, you know what, Mrs. Jones, I'm going to go ahead and find out what's happening with that. And I'll give you a call back in 1 hour, right? Even if you don't have the answer to the question, call the patient back and say, hey, Mrs. Jones, you know, Ethan here. I want to let you know we're still following up on that. I'll let you know by the end of the day, whatever the next time frame is as to when you can get an answer for them. The worst thing you can do is not call them and then go, well, I didn't have an answer for them. The patient's expecting a call. You don't have to have the answer, right? But at least make sure to follow through when you do tell a patient you will get them their information. So don't treat patients, as you mentioned there, at least them undervalued or disrespected. So, you know, keep to your agreements and just make note for yourself. Have a good system so that when you do make those commitments to patients that are small, write it in your battle plan, have your to-do list running, you know, and make sure you can have that there to follow up with the patient. Couple more. Welcome or have a fantastic day when greeting patients. Don't say, what do you want when they arrive? It's a key one, obviously. I've heard that in offices. Like it was that, so what do you want? And I'm like, oh my God, that person cannot be here. Like this isn't happening. Whatever. So don't say that, say this. I'm sorry to hear that. Let me see how I can make it right. Right. Don't say that's not my problem. Right. Or do not argue with patients. Again, I know you guys know this, but don't just tell yourself, just don't argue with patients. Right? This is just real simple stuff. Comes from Ritz-Carlton. It's real basic things, just a little change in language that they use that you can use in your practice as well. Use positive language and tone, such as by thanking patients for their patience and acknowledging their concerns. I'm so, like we said earlier, I would be frustrated too. We'll get to the bottom of it. I'm sorry to hear that. Don't use negative or dismissive language, such as telling patients to calm down or relax when they're upset. Hey, don't say, hey, bro. Yeah, none of that. Yeah. But I mean, right, Lauren, isn't the best thing to tell anybody, like when they're upset, hey, just relax. It's fine. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I'm not putting these because it's funny. I'm putting them because I've heard them in offices. Right. So avoid that at all costs. Here's another key one, guys. This one I hear probably the most often with new team members. Okay. So the do, what you want to do is, that's a great question. Let me help you get you to the doctor, our insurance specialist, whatever, who can answer that for you. So I've been given a question by a patient. I don't know the answer to it, right? So instead of saying, I don't know, or I don't know what the ad is, right? At least what should be being applied with policy in our team is we never tell someone we don't have an answer. We never say we don't know. What we always do is we direct them, acknowledge their question, and direct them to the person that has the answer. So get your staff to stop saying, I don't know, and get them to instead say, that's a great question. Let me get you to the doctor who can go ahead and get the answer for you. Get you to our billing manager who can get the answer to the question. That way, you don't have to look like you don't know what you're doing, right? At the same time, the patient feels confident that they're gonna go in the right direction. All right, those are some do's and some don'ts there. So let's just practice a few of them. I want us to do right now is let's do a couple of the quick ones. We'll partner up in threes. Let's just get into it, dial into our system. May I get your name, please? Just say it 5 times back and forth, just so it's muscle memory in there. May I get your name, please? We're gonna focus on, that's a great question. Let me get you to the person to answer that for you. And then let's go ahead and do, I'm sorry to hear that. Let me see how I can make it right or how I can help you with that. Let's practice those 3, 5 times each back and forth just to get the muscle memory down of it. So it's in our system. I'll give you guys 2 minutes. Let's go ahead and begin. All right, guys, wrap it up. Excellent work. Before I forget, a couple more here. Some things you want to say, good professionalism here, is you want to say things like Chick-fil-A, right? The Chick-fil-A hospitality. They always say, my pleasure, right?
Yep.
The ones that love Chick-fil-A and go too often, like myself. I knew that one in a second, right? No, but whenever a request is there, it could be a pimple-faced 15-year-old who, you know, who's on his phone half the time and he just goes, nope. My pleasure. It's drilled into them. My pleasure. Say words like certainly, absolutely, you know, really good, positive affirmatives. Use words like that, you know, 100%, absolutely. I'll take care of that for you. Don't say things like no problem or uh-huh. Oh yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. Good. Don't want that. None of that. So again, strong affirmative words right this way. This is a key one. We're going to practice this one right now as a group. All right. So we don't do this. The bathroom's over there. We don't do that. What we do is it's an open palm. This is the Disney protocol here. Open palm, open body language. And they say, right this way. Oh, right this way. Follow me. Okay. Everyone get their Vanna White or Vince White out, you know, here, right this way. And here we go. Everybody. One count of three. 1, 2, 3, right this way. Excellent. Open body language. And ideally you can take them there if that's possible or get them to someone that can, but right this way. None of the, oh, it's over there thing. None of that, right? Right this way. All right. And then last one here, guys. Get you guys out of here on time for lunch. Ladies. Okay, good. All right, show empathy and understanding. Actually listening to patients, offering genuine apologies. Something goes wrong. Again, don't be dismissive, ignoring patients' concerns. You know, we discussed that. It's super important. Again, these are good, guys, if you want. The PDFs of these slide decks, literally just print them off and post them in the office, right? Like have it on so everyone, all the staff can see it. Like these are all available to you guys. All right, communication, we discussed this already. Importance, all this integrates with ARC. Okay, a couple of key points. Again, visual and audible hospitality are key elements in creating a welcoming and friendly experience. So 1, body language, 2, your voice, 3 is your mindset, 4 is your appearance. So body language can be key to convey warmth and openness. Again, guys, think of your posture is key as a chiropractic assistant, as a chiropractor, as front desk, no matter your position. When I go to my dentist, when I was scoping out the right dentist to go to, I moved here to Clearwater. Guess what the first thing I was looking at in every single person there? The teeth. Why am I looking at the teeth? I'm seeing a dentist, right? If I walk into a chiropractor office and people are slouched over their desks with poor ergonomic chairs, and a doctor who's got poor posture and who's just, the whole place looks unhealthy, right? It's not, that's like me going to the dentist and they got crooked yellow teeth, right? So it's important, guys. Make sure to write your body language, your posture, living the lifestyle yourself so that you are an example to all of your patients as to what they will be achieving themselves. Tone of voice is gonna be big. Again, inflection, how you say things, kind of like we talked about with matching tone levels, right? Be excited for patients when they're excited. Be concerned when it's time to be concerned. Your inflection, this thing right here, this voice box is so powerful in conveying and connecting. So make sure to utilize it appropriately. And also when you're answering the phones, the if your doctor answering the phone, if your CA answering the phone, no matter who's answering the phone, do you answer it like this?
No.
One more time, Marina. We smile, baby. Write that one down. Everyone, you answer the phone when you're smiling. Let's practice. See everybody smile. Good. Hey, it's a great day every day at ABC Wellness. I can help you, right? Big smile, right? Because what happens? The patient can hear your smile. Absolutely. All right.
Yes.
So we'll get some flowers. Is this spot here is where Sam died. It's very sad.
Boy, walk away, you little prick.
All right, Grandad, keep your wig on.
Thanks, Roy.
There you go.
Hey, Sam, come here a sec.
Coach, I'm sorry.
You know what the happiest animal on earth is? Goldfish. You know why?
No.
Got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish, Sam. Yeah? Yeah, you got it. Go ahead.
Hey, Nate.
So, be a goldfish, right? The patient says something 1 second that just totally throws you off. 10-second memory. On to the next thing. You go in as a case manager and the patient just was really rude. They didn't close and you just feel like insecure for like a little bit about what you did. Be a goldfish. Move on. Get a rude patient yelling on the phone. Okay, it happened. It's done. 10 seconds. Be a goldfish. Back into present time. Next 10 seconds. We're good. That's your mindset. Hospitality. Trick of the day. You're going to have patients that will say and do things that will upset you. When that happens, you can't be selfish enough to let that impact the next person who's not that person. So important. So be a goldfish. That's part of being good hospitality, is having the right mindset. All right, I got about 2 minutes, guys, to get through a couple more here. Then we'll call it a break for lunch. All right, again, guys, your appearance is going to be big. Obviously, please, 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 if you use scrubs, just don't walk into the office with visibly wrinkly scrubs. For the love of God. Be proud of your appearance with those scrubs, right? I don't think they press your scrubs every morning, but like, or take them to the dry cleaner, but you shouldn't be walking in, and your team should not be walking in with visibly wrinkly scrubs, right? Super important. Your appearance is key. If you walked into a Ritz-Carlton, you're not going to find a wrinkle in anybody's suit. It's pressed, dry clean, ready to go. There's not a single hair out of place, a single piece of trash anywhere. It's dialed in. So dress professionally. Obviously, you know, you guys are all amazingly beautiful, attractive people. Just make sure every day. I know some days the shifts start at like 7 a.m. and you got to like be at the office at 6:30 and you're up at like 4:45 and you don't have time. You're just like a hot mess running in. Like those days happen. But just again, do your part. Be a professional. Value that. That'll be huge. Small details make a big difference. All right. Last, the radar system. This is a good one for you guys. Recognition, acknowledgement, dialogue, anticipation, recovery. This is a good little acronym that the Ritz-Carlton uses for handling complaints or concerns from the patient. So recognize them, right, as valuable and of value. Acknowledge their concerns. Have a productive, good dialogue with them, anticipating the other possible concerns they'll have, and have a nice, smooth landing of a recovery of how you're going to solve it. It's a good little radar system you can implement in your practice too. Recognition, acknowledgement, dialogue, anticipation, recovery. Mystique system. This is just a fancy way of saying, like, make every patient feel like they're special and part of something special, like a mystique. Create a mystique around their experience with you guys. Like, most of your patients know it. Like, they get, like they know they're the favorite, right? But you treat everybody as the favorite, right? But like, everybody should feel like, ooh, they think like I'm like the favorite one here. Like, they love me, right? That's the mystique experience. Doing little things like we talked about so far today to make patients feel like they're the only one. Like that, right? Super important. Like they're part of a special club or a secret society or something cool. Like it's just make it unique for them when they walk out. All right. So conclusion, hospitality flow and outcome, new patient experience, the 10-5-2 rule. Shift tunnels are key, personalizing the experience, empathy, acknowledging, understanding. Radar system. Right? We just went over that. And then pay attention to body language, tone of voice, mindset, be a goldfish, and your appearance is going to be key. So I covered a lot. We covered a lot of ground here in about an hour and 15 minutes. I hope that it was insightful. I hope that all of you guys now can leave with not only some soft skills, but also some real tangible implementables that we can use to change the experiential outcome of your practice. And remember, guys, just because you see a lot of patients doesn't mean it has to feel like you're seeing a lot of patients, right? Every patient is unique. Every patient has their story, and connect with them, make it special, no matter how many you see. Guys, great job. That's our morning. Great work. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome work. A wheel of applause, a round of applause. Okay, so here's the schedule, guys. If your doctor is in 7th Division right now in the mastermind, just so we don't have like the whole place getting bombarded at one time, they're gonna be going for another 15 minutes. And so if you're waiting on them, just hang out in the lobby area, take your time, no problem. Otherwise, guys, if you're heading to lunch right now, we'll see you in 2 hours. We'll be back in here at 2 o'clock. And guys, back home, 2 hours. See you guys back 2 o'clock Eastern.